Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great privilege and opportunity. It is to come together around your risen Son. We do thank you that the tomb is empty. We thank you that Jesus died and he rose again, and in him we have the hope of life forever. Lord, as we come to your word this morning, as we're reminded of these great and central truths, we pray that you would refresh us, encourage us, and challenge us to keep living for your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. Well, if you can imagine for a moment, what would change your future forever? Is it being given $10 million? Pay off the loan, free from financial stress, no more living from paycheck to paycheck? Is it landing the dream job, your childhood dream, the job you've been working all your life towards? Is it something else? Free from health issues, kids sleeping through the night, finding your lifelong partner, having a comfortable retirement, going on the holiday of your lifetime? Think for a moment, what would change your future forever? And with that in your head, how would it feel if or when these things could happen? Well, as we celebrate Easter Sunday today, rejoicing in the good news of the risen Lord Jesus, today's passage, it points to the biggest way your future can and will be changed forever. Changed from death to life, from hell to heaven, from darkness to light, from hopeless to hope. You see, the resurrection of Jesus changes everything. And we're going to zoom into the event that changes futures forever in the most ultimate way, more than what any money, any job, any life season, or anything else can offer. We're going to see this morning yet again that the resurrection of Jesus is central, foundational, critical, and alongside the sacrificial death of Jesus, it's vital in the good news of God. And without the resurrection of Jesus, each of us gathered here this morning, we might as well pack our bags and go home. I love how a book I read, Jacob, makes the resurrection so simple. It's an alphabetical book. It says, U is for up. 3 days later, God raised them up from the dead. V is for victory, so we can have victory over sin and the devil. And W, I think, is the summary. It's so simple what the resurrection means for us. Jesus wins. W is for wins. Jesus wins. That's what we celebrate and marvel on this Easter Sunday, and in fact, every day as we live in Jesus. Today, as Vicky's read, we're going to find ourselves in 1 Corinthians 15, and the whole chapter is a long argument unpacking the importance of the resurrection and how Jesus wins. But today, we're going to zoom in on 11 verses that focuses on the significance of Jesus' resurrection and what it means for each of us today and our resurrection. If you've got your Bibles open, there's two parts to this passage. The first part is in verse 12 to 19, and it begins like this. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? You see, some of these Corinthian Christians, they didn't believe in a resurrection of sorts. They didn't believe in a bodily resurrection, that dead bodies can rise again. They were even getting shaky on Jesus' resurrection. And there was also a pagan teaching around at the time that separated body and soul and really focused on the soul being immortal. And when you die, the body is done away with and the soul would be set free. But this morning, I think this passage is a challenge to us, isn't it? Do you believe in the resurrection, that dead people can rise again. Because, a bit different from the first century, but in a similar way, today's world says no. It's this life only. And once you're dead, you're buried and gone. And even if we're church people, it's easy to forget the claims of God's word, that there is a bodily and real resurrection. And even if we don't forget, we can take the resurrection of Jesus for granted so much that in practice, we live pretty much as if Jesus didn't rise again. And this is a terrible place to be, especially on this Easter Sunday morning, to deny the resurrection. It's denying that Jesus has changed everything. It's denying what Jesus won and what we look forward to forever. And it even leads to denying much more. Because here, after introducing the issue at hand, Paul, he goes on to unpack it. And he uses a hypothetical argument, a Roman debating technique. And he puts forward a theory and shows it to be ridiculous and silly. And the theory is this, verse 13. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. Well, Paul's saying, think about it. If you reject the belief of the resurrection, if you think that God doesn't raise dead people, then it's not just your own resurrection at stake. You actually reject the Lord Jesus, that he was ever raised from the dead. And Paul, he goes on to show six consequences of life with no resurrection. And the first is in verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. The apostles preached in vain if Christ has not been raised. And all those accounts that we read in Acts, it's all empty. It's all passion, good story, but no truth. And the word vain, it means devoid of intellectual, moral, or spiritual value. All the teaching, all the things that the apostles in the early church taught and preached, it means nothing if Christ has not been raised. And the second is in verse 14 also, and your faith is in vain. You see, it's not just the preaching and the teaching of the apostles. The believers, including the Corinthian Christians, their believing means nothing. It's an empty belief. It has no real substance. You thought this was solid gold, but really, if Christ has not been raised, it's just like grasping air, grasping vapor, no substance at all. Third consequence of life with no resurrection. We're even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. You see, it's not just a vain effort. It's even worse than that. The apostles were misrepresenting God, saying something about God that isn't true. You see, the apostles, instead of spreading good news and defending truth, if Christ has not been raised, they were in fact false teachers. Effectively, Paul saying that they're liars, found out, caught out, exposed as swindlers and used car salesmen. You see, Christianity is more than a set of good morals. It's a news of life and death. And the resurrection is the linchpin. Either God raised up Christ and we have real good news, or we're just all liars and we should go home. Paul repeats the issue in verse 16. And then comes the fourth consequence in verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. You see, not only is their faith futile or in vain, it's even worse than this still. The Corinthians and all believers still in their sins. You see, if Jesus didn't rise again, Jesus' death accomplished nothing. Instead of being a substitutionary sacrifice, he was condemned to death, and just another random death on a cross. He can't justify others. He can't be our mediator, our risen Lord and Savior. He can't be the firstborn of resurrection life. He can't lead us to eternal life if he died and that's it. And just as Paul says, that means our sins haven't been done away with. We haven't been forgiven. Our sin still separates us from the holy and righteous God. We still face judgment. We still face death. Because if you can imagine for a second what life without hope feels like, if you think about a dead-end job, caught in the week-to-week routines, constant tired with no end health issues and no answers, it's pretty hopeless, isn't it? It's bleak. There's nothing to look forward to. It feels a bit pointless. You see, take away the resurrection of Jesus for believers, and that's what life with no resurrection feels like. Magnified a million times, it's a pretty bleak picture. There's no hope or good news at all. Now we come to our second last consequence. Believers who've died have perished. Verse 18. Then those also fallen asleep in Christ have perished. You see, for first century pagans, just like today, death is the end. There's no hope of eternal life or right relationship with God. But this Jesus group preached a real and different hope. Death is no more than just sleep, a blip in the radar. It's not mourned as if it's the end, because there's eternal life waiting for those who trust in Jesus. But if you think without any sort of resurrection, without Jesus rising again, there's no hope of eternal life. It really is just this life only, and we're dead and judged. And that's it. As the Corinthian believers were reading this, thought of their fellow church members who died trusting in Jesus, who died in old age while trusting in Jesus, and they thought of other believers who died, and they had the certain hope that they would be in eternity. Well, with no resurrection, they're not just asleep. They're not just waiting for eternity. It's not just a blip in the radar. They're facing hell and judgment without a savior. Which brings us to the final summary consequence here, verse 19. If in Christ we hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. You see, believers are most to be pitied if there's no resurrection. We're found to be no hope as deluded people proclaiming a lie, living towards a false future. Anyone is better off than the Christian without resurrection hope. You see, life with no resurrection, Christianity without a risen Lord Jesus, it doesn't work. There's no hope. There's no eternal life. It's just a waste of time, and we might as well pack our bags, go home, and live like the world. It's a pretty bleak picture that Paul's arguing, isn't it? But obviously, Paul's being hypothetical. He's showing the logical argument to show the consequences of denying the resurrection and denying that Jesus rose again. But as we keep going, Paul, he turns to reality. He turns to certainties, the truth of what he and the apostles had been proclaiming. And as you can imagine, as we've already mentioned, the resurrection, we're going to see, changes everything. And here we're going to see Paul spell out life because of the resurrection. Of course, you can keep reading to the end of the chapter. But today we're going up to verse 22, and we're going to see two game changers of what a risen Lord Jesus means for us. And the first game changes in verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. If you remember, no resurrection, it means that death rules and reigns, sins aren't forgiven, there's no hope really of anything in the future, it's just death and that's it. But since Christ has been raised from the dead, and we see Paul talk about it as a fact, not a hypothetical thing, but a fact, it really happened. He is the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. That's what Paul says. It sounds good, but digging down into what this means gives it, I think, even more value. You see, first fruit, they're the first produce of a harvest, and they're a signal to show more fruit is coming. And Jesus being called the first fruits is saying that Jesus was the first to be raised. He proves that there's going to be a resurrection, that God does indeed resurrect dead people. And it's also saying that Jesus is only the first of many to be raised. His resurrection is a pledge to all who trust in Jesus that God will indeed raise them up to just like he raised Christ. You see, the first fruit points to more fruit. Jesus first, then us. Raised into eternal life, a life that knows no death, a life where sin has indeed truly, really been paid for by Jesus. Jesus is the first fruit of resurrection life. He's a pledge, a proof of the resurrection for all who trust in Jesus, meaning that those of us who believe in the risen Lord Jesus, we also look forward to life, resurrection life forever instead of death and judgment. Now to the second game change in verse 21. For as by a man came death, by man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. The resurrection of Jesus solves the biggest problem in the Bible. If you remember in Genesis 3, in Adam, sin entered the world, sin leading to death. And we're all born of Adam, all of humanity. We're born into sin and death ruled our beings. I mean, just look around the world. Why is it so messed up? Well, ultimately, it's sin. Even look within. I'm not a perfect person, and you're not either. We've all fallen from the glory of God. We've all rejected his rule. And that's the big problem in the Bible, sin, death. That's why we call the Bible God's story of salvation and redemption. It's God working in the world to bring about salvation and life, to reverse Genesis 3 and to bring life to a sinful and dead people. And this problem finds its solution in Jesus. And the death and resurrection is the turning point in the whole story. Because in Jesus, in his death, he solves the sin problem. He dies as an offering for our sin. And by God raising Jesus from the grave, God shows his victory over death, that death has been defeated and that Adam's problem is undone. And instead of death, those who trust in Jesus find life. In other words, every human being, every single one of us, begins under Adam. Sin rules, death reigns. But those of us who are in Christ, who trust in the resurrection and in the risen Lord Jesus, you belong not in Adam, but to Christ. Sin is taken care of. Death is defeated. And you will be made alive. And you look forward to life forever with God in eternity. Both these game changers point to one common thing. Because Jesus indeed rose again. Because the resurrection is true, we have life because Jesus wins. We have life now, we have life evermore. No dreading death, no dreading judgment, no sin hanging over our shoulders. Eternal life we have as we trust in Jesus, the risen Lord. We have real bodily eternal life, not just a symbolic resurrection, not just a soul only resurrection, not just a fairy tale story of a resurrection to make us happy, but a real true story of a resurrection of Jesus that we look forward to glorified physical bodies just as Christ rose in the flesh as our first fruits. Isn't that good news to hold on to? Isn't that a game changer in life? That dead men and women will rise, rising to new life forever, all because Jesus, whom we trust in, really did die and rise again to new life. That's life that we look forward to in light of the resurrection. You see, the resurrection does change everything. As Paul sums up later on, because of Jesus rising from the grave, death has no sting, death has no victory, death is defeated forever. And in Jesus, as we trust in him, we look forward to life instead of death, hope instead of hopelessness, eternity in God's new creation instead of eternal judgment, heaven instead of hell, light instead of darkness, joy instead of mourning, new life instead of this life only. The resurrection changes everything. That's what we celebrate on Easter Sunday. Not Easter eggs, not a public holiday to kick our feet up, not a ritual go to church day, but the resurrection of Jesus rising from death into new life that changes everything. So let's cast our eyes to the risen Lord Jesus this morning. Let us grab hold of it in the weeks and months and years to come. Easter Sunday is a time to be reminded afresh of the resurrection of Jesus, because it's so easy to forget. It's easy to take for granted. It's easy to be drowned out by the noises in life. What it means for each of us to have a risen Lord, to believe in resurrection life, and sometimes just to live as if it's this life only, that there's no resurrection. Well, this morning, if you need some ways to be reminded of the resurrection of Jesus, let me encourage you today to read 1 Corinthians 15. It's 58 verses, it's a bit long, but it's a great refresher of what the resurrection of Jesus means for each of us. If you're visiting this morning and you don't know Jesus, there's a great book that we would love to give to you this morning. It's at the front foyer, and it's our gift to you. It's called The Christian Gospel. Come and grab one for free and have a read of the claims of Jesus and his resurrection. If you're visiting today, or if you're not visiting today and you don't know Jesus and you want to explore him more, I'd encourage you to come to our Hope Explored course. As Tim mentioned, it starts on the 29th of April, 3 Tuesday nights. Easy and no pressure way to intentionally explore the hope found in Jesus. Or if you've got questions this morning, come and chat with me or Tim or someone around you after the service. We'd love to talk to you about the hope found in Jesus. And just before we come to a time of closing our time in God's word this morning, the resurrection is true. We rejoice on this Easter Sunday as we hear the eyewitness accounts of Jesus rising again, as we read of Paul unpacking the resurrection for early believers. And the resurrection is good news. It's good news that means all those points we read before in verse 14 to 19, not only are they untrue, we can turn them around and we can have positive truths for us today as we hold on to the resurrection of Jesus. 6 consequences of no resurrection changed into 6 truths because Jesus did indeed rise from the grave. You see, since the resurrection is true, first, Christians are people to be envied. We are not to be pitied. Our hope goes beyond this life into eternity. Our lives following Jesus are well spent, not in vain. They're totally worth it. The unbelieving world scoffs and jeers at us, and we can easily think that we are the losers of the world, marginalized, weird, against the grain. But if Jesus did rise again, it's the opposite. It's attractive to be a follower of Jesus, someone who has assurance of new life forever with God. We hold on to a great hope, the only hope of humanity. Resurrection, new life forever in Jesus. Second, believers who have died are alive. While the focus of heaven isn't a reunion with believing family and friends, we're still concerned about their eternal well-beings. And believers who've died, they aren't destroyed. They're alive. They will live forever. God will raise them and us just as he raised Christ. You see, your family, your friends who trust in Jesus and have died, they are alive in Jesus. Third, our sins are forgiven. Jesus rose from the grave, validating or giving visible certainty that Jesus did indeed pay the penalty for our sins on the cross. There's no doubt, there's no uncertainty, there's no wondering and ifs and maybes. The risen Lord Jesus means our sins are gone. God has accepted the sin offering of Jesus on our behalf, and we've indeed been made right with God. Which means if you trust in Jesus today, it means that you can live confidently by grace through faith in Jesus, knowing that your sins have been wiped away forever. Fourth, it means that the apostles were correctly representing God. We see in Acts and the New Testament letters, the apostles witnessing to the resurrection of Jesus. And a risen Lord Jesus means that their witness is true. They correctly represent God, and we can trust their testimony today. And we can also be confident in our testimony when we proclaim that Jesus is risen. Five, our beliefs in Jesus are of the highest value. You see, because the resurrection is true, we can be confident that our belief in Jesus is solid. It's not in vain. It's not futile. It's not empty. It's not devoid of value. It's not meaningless. But in fact, our belief in Jesus leads to life. And that means it's of the highest value. It's the most important thing to believe in and live in light of. It's the most important thing to get right in life. Believing in the risen Lord Jesus, not just as a teaching, not just as example, but believing in his death and resurrection, the linchpin of our salvation. and the final consequence, our proclaiming of Jesus is life-changing. It's not useless. It's not a waste of time. Proclaiming Christ is the most important thing we can proclaim. It's the greatest news to tell, the most life-changing truth that someone can hear and accept. So we can be encouraged by the certainty of the resurrection to keep proclaiming Jesus, to keep telling others about the good news of life in the risen Lord, to yearn and long for people to be saved from death to life in Jesus. So let the resurrection of Jesus fuel your evangelism, fuel your serving, and flame that desire to see people find life in Jesus. We heard Richard's story this morning. He was staring death in the face. He died shortly after the last part of that video. But for Richard, the resurrection changed everything. Because of Jesus, death has no hold on him. And while Richard did pass away, he's just a blip in the radar, and Richard lives forever in eternity. And we're all invited to share in that same hope in Jesus that Richard did, to live confidently in the hope of the risen Lord Jesus. So as we finish our time in God's word today, Jesus has indeed risen from the dead to new life forever. And the resurrection changes everything. Will you put your trust in the risen Lord Jesus? Will you grab onto the new life that God offers you in Christ? And will you join in the risen Lord Jesus in his work of proclaiming his resurrection today? Paul finishes off this chapter by saying, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the risen Lord Jesus, your labor is not in vain. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, on this Resurrection Sunday, we cast our eyes to your Son, the risen King Jesus. We're so thankful that you didn't leave us dead in our sins, struggling in vain and futility to gain a salvation that was never attainable ourselves. That you sent your Son Jesus, who died as a sacrificial lamb and rose as the victorious King and the first fruit of new life forever. Father, we thank you that as we trust in Jesus, we also look forward to new life forever in him. Resurrection life, a hope that changes our future and fuels our today. Father, help us to place our trust in and live in light of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus, today. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.